We're talking about the grounding of Boeing jets across the world and what that means for air travel. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What we know now is that the flight recorders, which are those black boxes from Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302, they've arrived in Paris this morning, and that the investigation into why that Boeing 737 MAX 8 plane went down Sunday is in a real crucial phase right now as we learn those cockpit conversations. What do you want to know about how crash investigations are handled and how the Federal Aviation Administration may reach its conclusions on the safety of Boeing aircraft? We're at 800-642-1234. Seth Kaplan is an aviation journalist with Kaplan Research. Seth, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good to be back, Kate.
So what we know here, two different Boeing 737 MAX 8 jets crashed in the past several months, countries around the world now grounding them, and President Trump joined the world yesterday in grounding these aircraft. Did the president's decision come to you as any surprise?
No, maybe I was surprised that the president was doing it rather than more conventionally sort of the technocrats at the FAA. But the decision, you know, in the end, kind of wasn't really that big of a decision because, as you said, Kate, so many of these planes were grounded around the world, and so much airspace around the world was off limits to them that they're kind of wasn't really much left to do, although obviously that was a big step still, you know, with Boeing agreeing with the FAA that this should happen and not sort of representing it anymore as, hey, this is what everybody else is doing, but the plane's still safe to fly.
How many planes out there are there of these Boeing 737 MAX 8 aircraft?
There are about 350 flying in the world right now. So that's a very small percentage of the overall global fleet, and a small percentage of all the MAXs that will eventually be flying, assuming that all of this gets worked out and that they are indeed delivered. So, you know, most people, unless you fly very frequently, the odds are you haven't been on one yet. But the odds are good that you'll be on one someday, again, assuming that that everything goes forward.
So this grounding by so many countries is not exactly incapacitating airlines as they try to figure out what planes to replace them with.
It's not. Some airlines obviously have more than others, or, you know, more importantly, sort of a bigger percentage of their fleet than others. So, you know, just a handful of them at Cayman Airways might be a bigger problem for that airline than 34 of them at Southwest, which is what Southwest has. Southwest has 700 total airplanes. But you're right. You know, today, you know, if you're flying and your flight is canceled, the odds are still greater that it's canceled for some other reason, you know, weather or just a routine mechanical issue, than because of this. It'll be disruptive. But Southwest, which I mentioned, you know, for perspective, some people might recall that in recent weeks they've been canceling a lot of flights, I mean, more than 100 flights on some days, because of what seems to be a labor dispute with their mechanics. Southwest accusing them of sort of working to rule too stringently, and, you know, they're in a long negotiation there. Anyway, you know, that dispute has resulted some days in more than 100 cancellations. Southwest, I looked at the schedule data. It's a company, Dio, puts out the subscription schedule data. Southwest had 163 flights scheduled today on the MAX. And the thing is that these airlines have some spare aircraft all the time waiting to make up some of the lost capacity when a flight cancels for any reason. Mm-hmm. Like I said, kind of a routine mechanical thing. So yeah, my math tells me that today will be a messier day than others, especially at airlines like Southwest, American, United to a lesser degree. It has just 13 of these airplanes, but nothing on the order of, let's say, even a snowstorm that can, on a bad day, cancel 1,000 flights. It's
sure.
Not going to be anything like that. There are less than 300 MAX flights even scheduled today in the U.S., and again, not all of them will end up canceled.
So, Seth, getting back to this crash, just how similar are they when you look at both of these crashes, Lion Air and the current one, Ethiopian Airlines? Can you draw some similarities, some parallels?
And as the days go on, Kate, the similarities seem to be stronger. You know, when this plane first crashed, Sunday. In the broadest terms, you could see that, well, first of all, two of the same kind of aircraft had crashed. We knew more, of course, about the Lion Air crash because it's been 4.5 months since then. But this one, you know, you knew that there were issues with its vertical climb. You know, as it was taking off, it wasn't the smooth takeoff that, that most of us would expect. But now, you know, first you had the CEO of Ethiopian indicating that, that the pilot, in his distress call, said he had problems controlling the flight. Okay, that sounds a little bit more like what was happening with Lion Air. And now these reports that satellite data, and this is rather new technology, you know, without even having seen the data yet in the black boxes, indicated that, yeah, it was even more similar. So with Lion Air, you know, we know that there was this new system that was actually designed to prevent crashes, to prevent the kinds of things that had caused some famous crashes in the past. And in fact, that system contributed to the crash. Some blame also to go around there. That investigation continues. But, you know, the airline in that case seemed to have put an airplane back in the sky that had this serious issue a day earlier, rather than taking it out of service and fixing it. You know, perhaps the pilots didn't know exactly what to do. This one, you know, none of those kinds of reports that this plane had had these particular problems previously. But yeah, as time goes on, it does look more and more similar. We don't know yet that particular system is what caused this, but the suspicions are becoming stronger.
Talking with Seth Kaplan, he's an aviation journalist with Kaplan Research, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you glad that the U.S. is grounding Boeing's 737 MAX model? Has this situation concerned you to the point where perhaps you've canceled your flight, or do you think that this investigation should play out and that these aircraft should keep flying? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Andy now from Libertyville. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
So I just had a question. I thought I heard somewhere that the person that President Trump appointed to oversee, you know, aviation for the U.S. came from Boeing, and which is a little concerning considering the fact that the United States was the last country to ground these airplanes. It seems to me that there might be a little, you know, how do you want to say it? I guess reliance on, you know, corporate America to do the right thing here, and it seems like it might put safety in jeopardy. And I just wanted to hear what your speaker had to say about that.
Yes, Seth, what do we know about overlaps in the industry versus regulatory control?
Andy asks a good question. You know, there's nothing unusual or by definition wrong with the FAA working closely with manufacturers and airlines. I mean, they have to, right? But then where's the line? And I'm sure there are people looking into that as we speak right now, requesting, you know, making public records requests about the communication between the FAA and Boeing, perhaps airlines too. There have been accusations in recent years of the FAA being laxer about how it deals with airlines, been more of the reports. And, you know, the FAA had said, look, rather than being as punitive as we used to be, we'd rather just kind of work more closely. And then this, some of this, by the way, dates back to the Obama administration. It's not all new. You know, but yeah. So that is a question here. All kinds of things in the world have become politicized that weren't previously politicized. And, you know, in the past, and Andy kind of made this point about the FAA here following the other civil aviation authorities. I mean, in the past, the rest of the world kind of looked to the FAA. The FAA would typically act first. You know, whether the suspicions on the part of the other countries were that, you know, the FAA had some kind of other motivation and that's why they acted first. The reports that Ethiopia or Ethiopian Airlines wants to send the black boxes not to the NTSB in the U.S., but to United Kingdom authorities. You know, the NTSB is kind of this famously apolitical, you know, just investigators who generally are regarded as doing a very good job. So we don't know all the answers yet.
Well, we know that but the Yeah, the CEO of Boeing talked to President Trump on Tuesday and really urged him not to ground the planes. What do we know about what Boeing and the FAA are saying about the safety of these planes?
Right, and they were both standing by the safety of the planes as late as Wednesday morning, right? And then Boeing, immediately after President Trump said what he did, said that they were now in agreement. All of that is certainly when you see the president, making that announcement, as opposed to just sort of, like I said, the people who are, the scientists, basically. That's not going to help, with the idea that this was somehow politicized. Obviously, we don't know what went on in those conversations. We don't know what kind of, what kind of pressure was or wasn't put on other people. But I think without knowing the answers, I think they're fair questions.
And we've heard from lawmakers, Senator Elizabeth Warren, who said, quote, serious questions have been raised about whether these planes were pressed into service without additional pilot training in order to save money. Can we make any of those connections?
Well, the accusation is that following the Lion Air crash, pilots basically said, "Look, we didn't know that this could necessarily happen. We didn't know." Some of them say they didn't really even know about the system. And just to explain briefly, there had been crashes in the past, famous crashes. Some listeners might remember the Colgan Air crash near Buffalo. Colgan flying for what was then Continental, flying as Continental Express, or the Air France Flight 447 crash off of Brazil, off the coast of Brazil. Those were crashes where pilots, in a panic when they thought the plane was stalling, did the opposite of what they're supposed to do. I think those of us who aren't pilots would think, oh, you should try to climb, right, to stop the plane from stalling. Actually, you're supposed to tilt the nose down.
And we have to pause right there. Seth Kaplan with us, aviation journalist with Kaplan Research. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll get back to this in a minute on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, talking about how dozens of countries have grounded the Boeing 737 MAX jets following the crash of an Ethiopian Airlines flight Sunday. U.S. now following suit. Here's Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut on All Things Considered.
Right now, there is more than ample reason for airline passengers to be greatly concerned, in fact, justifiably frightened about the safety of these airplanes and the ability of pilots to handle a malfunction.
What do you think of the FAA's recommendation that these jets remain on the ground? Are you worried to the point where you've canceled a flight? Join in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. Seth Kaplan is an aviation journalist with Kaplan Research. He stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now with Diane joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Diane.
Yes, good morning. My question is there a way for the pilot to turn off all automated systems so that he is truly captain of the ship and flying the plane manually?
So can we turn off automated systems, Seth?
Yeah, it's all a question of degree. So much is automated now that even the stick, sort of the most manual thing, now is just that. It sort of looks more like, let's say a joystick, if you picture an old video game, than the old manual yoke. So no way to completely disable everything. That said, yeah, absolutely. Pilots can fly a plane much more manually at times, and they do, when depending on conditions, traffic, and the rest of it. Aviation has generally gotten safer as it has become more automated. So on one hand, you can understand right now why people are concerned about all this automation. On the other hand, generally speaking, even counting these crashes, just on a per capita basis, far fewer people die in airplane crashes now, thanks largely to all of the technology over the years. So you wouldn't want to get away from all of it, except at those moments when pilots do need to take over. But yeah, this does show that there's such a thing as perhaps too much innovation, at least in narrow senses. The 737 MAX, by the way, an airplane that in many regards was not this great leap forward. You know, it was an update to those 737s that we've all flown, new engines, some other minor modifications, but this system, clearly a big change that's now at least partly to blame for one crash and perhaps for the second crash too.
Diane, thanks for the call. Let's go to Vern now, joining us from Boyd. Vern, hi. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I spent 4 years in the Air Force, and I worked on the F-4C and the C-130 and KC-135, whatever. But the point is, when he has trouble taking off and he can't maintain his proper angle of attack, there's something wrong with the sensors on the wings. It's not telling the true airspeed of the wings. And if he doesn't have enough altitude diving down, you're going to hit the ground. So, you know, the sensor probably is a problem. It may be due to atmospheric problems, which I won't go into. It's long and complex. They changed engines. They're hiding the engine designs. It's CMF 56 International.
Well, Vern, let's get Seth here to chime in on that. Could this be a sensor issue?
Yeah, and it sounds like that's exactly what it was with the Lion Air crash. Basically, the plane, I explained earlier about the system that's designed to prevent pilots from making this mistake that pilots in the past had made when a plane seems to be stalling. But that last part that I just said is the key, and it goes to what the caller was getting to, that if the plane thinks it's stalling and it's not, it would be like a bad speedometer in a car, let's say, well, then that system is designed to indeed tilt the nose down, which would help the plane actually regain airspeed if it was in a stall. But then if the plane doesn't pick up that, okay, now it has enough speed, that nose is just going to stay down, and eventually you're going to crash. And that's rather clearly what happened with the Lion Air crash, and the pilots were unable to override the system, seemingly, and perhaps what happened here, too.
Where does Boeing go from here? Do you think it will consider decommissioning these planes?
Well, look, they've got 5,000 orders for these planes, so there's a lot riding on this, on getting this right, obviously, for them. If you ask me to guess, just kind of looking back, you know, taking the long view and imagining, you know, kind of looking back at things that happened decades ago and imagining us looking back at this decades from now, you know, I'm going to guess that they're going to be able to fix this. The FAA did mandate them before it grounded the planes and said you have to fix this, and that was kind of the strange line that the FAA was walking. It said you need to make an urgent fix, but the planes are still safe now. Of course, they've been grounded. My guess is that they'll get this right. This is a plane that airlines generally want for, you know, just for other reasons, economics and passenger comfort and all the rest of it. But right now, they're in a bad spot. I mean, there's not going to be, after the Lion Air crash, they still got other orders. You know, airlines were willing to give them a pass and sort of accept the explanation that the airline in that case was at least partly to blame, which it seemed to have been. I mean, by keeping that airplane in the air after the problems appeared. But after this one, you know, people are thinking lightning doesn't strike twice, right, in the same place. And you know, we're not going to see another order for these. So the pressure's on them to fix it. My guess is that they will, and we'll look back from this decades, look back on this decades from now as, you know, a successful aircraft program that had a tragic start. But that's on them to prove that.
Do you see these fixes, urgent fixes, as technical ones, or is there training issues here as well for pilots?
Probably both, because you know, now they're going to some degree have to basically make the system less aggressive, right? So first you had the system that was designed to automate you know, the prevention of crashes like those that had happened in the past, but you had pilots saying they didn't understand the system. Now Boeing and airlines have gone out and told the pilots that the system exists and, you know, how to override it. Well, now they're going to have to understand that whatever changes are made, if the system again becomes less aggressive, well, now you can't expect that the system is going to engage in exactly the same way. I'm saying this obviously not knowing exactly what changes they're going to make, but it would be something along that order. So yeah, some software changes, it sounds like, mostly. I mean, they're going to have to look into why they're getting the bad airspeed readings too, although that alone should not cause a crash. I mean, it usually takes a confluence of a number of things going wrong to cause a crash. And then, once they fix all of that, making sure that airlines and pilots understand what they've done, because it might be a little more like the old days in terms of how you fly this this plane again in some subtle ways.
So getting back to this Ethiopian Airlines crash, black boxes are in Paris this morning. What is the timeline for getting to the bottom of this?
The fortunate thing, if you could even use that word when you're talking about tragedy, is that this crash did happen on land. You have a debris field, the black boxes they found within about a day. This is not going to long remain one of the world's great aviation mysteries. This is not Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 anniversary. That was the five-year anniversary just last week, and we still don't know what happened there. This is one that the full investigation will probably take a couple of years, but we already know a lot now within the first week, and I think in the coming weeks we're gonna understand a lot more about what happened here. That's what happened with Lion Air. It didn't take long. Here we are 4.5 months later, and there's some information still to be learned, but we kind of know what happened with that crash, and I think we're kind of going to know what happened with this one before too long.
But you say that full investigation, full reports take a long time to come out.
They do. They tend to take, just off the top of my head, I'd say an average of a couple of years.
So it might be a while. Well, Seth, thank you so much for joining us and filling us in on the details.
Thank you, Kate. A pleasure.
Seth Kaplan there. He is an aviation journalist with Kaplan Research, talking about the crash of the Ethiopian Airlines 737 MAX 8, now grounded as well in the United States, 50 other countries as well. Just ahead, HIV has been reportedly cured in a man researchers are calling the London patient. We'll talk with a researcher, a UW pathologist, about what this means for people living with HIV. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.